Was that great? Is that cool? I loved every part of it, other than I was the bad guy. Didn't have to. You live it. Hey, Ethan's still on the pulpit, in case you guys were wondering. Okay. Oh, I might wear it. Would you guys pray for me and I'll pray for you? Father God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you would say tonight. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that even though that you didn't need us, you still called us and you still use us, Lord. So I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. How are you guys? Was that cool? So you guys know we're doing this new deal. It's a new thing that we're going to have a little segment called Be Ready Man. Because you never know when it might be your opportunity to step up and tell somebody about the love of Christ. You don't have all day to plan. You might be on the moment, and you have to be ready, the Bible says, to give an explanation for the hope that resides in you. So, my friend Marshall there, we invited him 3 years ago. How about that? Everybody say hi, Marshall. And his son, Michael, we're glad you're here. He came up, and he said, we had the same hairstyle, so I think that's great. He came up and said, and the name, the face looked familiar. He said, I met you and your wife, my wife and me met you and your wife at Walmart 3 years ago. It's a great fishing hole. Walmart's a great fishing hole, I'm telling you. Buy a, stay out of it, okay? It's mine. Just kidding. Go fishing. So this segment we're doing, Be Ready Man, we're going to ask people to do something like that. It's going to be once a month, and you can do creative license. You can do a little skit. You can do a little something. You can just get up there and exposit, and that's fine. But the whole premise would be you won't know when we're going to call your name until, like, Thursday. Tim said Friday. He said, man, you can't give them time to prepare. Maybe Alpha said that. Let them know on Saturday. Well, why don't we just do a vote? This will be one of the largest congregational votes. Do you think that we should give ample time to prepare, even in this, ample time being 48 hours, or do you think we just call you that day and you better be ready? Raise the hands, please. Really? I like it. Okay, so you're saying be ready when you arrive at church. All in favor, raise your hands. Oh, okay, we got a split. I'm not doing a count. All not in favor, raise your hands. Some people didn't raise their hands at all. They don't even know what's going on. Oh, whoa. What are we even doing? What's happening? Okay, so what we're going to do, we need another clipboard. We're going to, I don't know. If you're interested in being in Be Ready Man, raise your hand. Somebody, Catfish, I'm getting, you're a girl. It's going to be, hey, girl. All, if you're female, lower your hands. If you're males and you want to be involved in Be Ready Man, raise your hands. Joshua, Richard, Kevin. Vaughn, come on. Oh, Vaughn's over like the little T-Rex hands, like I'm not going to see him. Raise some hands. Hi, Richard. You're in. Will, okay. John, okay. We've got Zach. Okay, cool. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, we got a crew. Now, if you're a whoa man, raise your hands if you want to be involved. Okay, yeah. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, look at the wimp, Danny. Just for that, you're on. You're right, and I did see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, it's going to be great. You guys excited about that? It could be pretty cool, huh? Because you know what? You get better at this thing by practice. How? Okay, everybody practice with me. Pretend like the neighbor. This is not part of it tonight. Yes, Lynn? Yes. Well, I don't know, Lynn. I'm up here. I don't know. Get creative. What do I know? It's just an idea. Okay, stop it. This is getting weird. Look at your neighbor and said, hey, I care about you. Would you like to come to church with me? Let's just practice. It's easy, isn't it? Hey, I care about you. Would you like to come to church with me? I care about you. I care about you. Hey, would you and your wife like to come to church with me? It worked 3 years later. See, I played the long game on that guy. David, enough of the peanut gallery. We're going to move along and get into tonight's sermon. We'll hold that thought. Who said it, John? You're like a ventriloquist. You threw his voice back on David. It just sounded like something David would say. We're going to talk about Philip tonight, the evangelist. Turn to your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a backdrop of what's going on here. Yes. I thought we already did, Alpha. We did. Why don't you take a little silent prayer for me, because obviously you didn't. And I watched your kids today. I need a double dose. Actually, you're great kids. We had a blast at the house watching Alpha's Rugrats driving around. This is extra, too. It's okay, because we're at church. I'm into study. What I do every Saturday. First squirrel of the day. Okay. Why do I even like you guys? So I'm into study and doing what I do. I'm preparing. You know, the Bible says be prepared in season and out of season. So I'm in there preparing what I do. I have my commentaries out, and I got them all set out. You know, I got stacked on top. It looks very messy, but I knew where it was. Why? I just kept seeing out of the corner of my eye AJ walking down the hallway. And then he kind of slithered, you know, like Alpha does. First of all, I woke up to a stranger in my house eating a banana at 5:30 in my house. I walked down in my skivvies. Alpha had let him. He knows where the key is. He just kind of, I go, hey, Alf. Oh, I just thought it was a whole thing. Anyway. So later, little AJ, AJ Jr., I see him coming down the hallway. Hey. I'm like, oh, man, once you pet him, you're hosed, right? It's like a dog. Hey, come on in. Have a seat. Well, what you reading? I'm reading a little commentary about Jesus. It's going to, will you read that whole thing? You know, the book is this big. Will, you're probably the only person in here that would sit down and read a whole commentary from beginning to the end. That's okay. You don't? Josiah. Good. That's a good man. Study to show yourself approved. Right? But anyway, I'm reading. I'm going through it. And he goes, you read that whole thing? No. You see, this buddy, like, I'm just going to read this story of the eunuch and Philip. And then this helps teach me, well, what page you on? And I was like, and then he kept asking questions. I was like, you want to go on a tractor ride? Because obviously this is not working for me. So I will say, like I say every week, we allow the Holy Spirit to make entrance into our life. We give him room to navigate. We don't micromanage the Holy Spirit. And that's pretty much what happened today. So it's on him, not me. But I like what you said, because that's how Jesus pops into your life. On the scene, sometimes he comes unexpected, in the craziest of places. If your heart is right in position to receive a blessing from the Lord, he just always comes through because he's a good, good father. So here he is. Let me give you a backdrop. I think we talked about this half an hour ago. That's okay. So the church is beginning to expand, right? They're under intense persecution. They're kind of huddled up in Jerusalem. They haven't left yet. Jesus has been crucified. Came back, visited with people. He's ascended back to the Father. And now they're in Jerusalem, and all hell is breaking loose in Jerusalem. Persecution. And it drives the believers all over the place, right? So they're scattered around, and everywhere they go, they're telling people about the good news of Jesus, like we should be doing. So this story, I'm just going to pick it up right here at the beginning of it. So that's kind of what's happening. In verse 26, as for Philip, now remember Philip was a deacon that was brought in chapter 5, I think, one of the other six or seven people. He was a deacon brought in to serve, but he's also an evangelist. So if you go back to that, you can see his account earlier. So here he is on the scene. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, first of all, in Jerusalem, things were happening. You know, it was under persecution, of course. But they were telling people, but remember when Jesus said, I will take you to the ends of the earth. You start in here, Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is beginning to happen. The God of the universe is beginning to fulfill his plan through the church. So he has to sometimes move people, and he moves in mysterious ways. Because sometimes we need a little pow-pow to actually get moving. Otherwise, we might just sit around on our blessed assurance. You know why they call pews pews? I want you to think about that. So anyway, he's doing what he does. Yeah, even Will's going, well, why do they call it a pew? Oh, okay. Well, no, not in this church, only other churches. Anyway. So he started out after he argued with the Lord about it. No, the angel told him to go, and he did what? Go. You know, maybe I'm going to pray about that for a few weeks. I need to really pray about that. No, when God says go, you do it. You don't say, but, Lord. You just say, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go? Right? So he takes off. He started out. Desert road runs through Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. First of all, another verse says Candace. That wouldn't be her name. That would be a position. You know, Candace, that's a great name, isn't it? We know some Candaces, but in this instance, it's a position. So she's the queen of Ethiopia because the king, they thought he was a sun god's son. So he didn't do anything. Just hung out and let the queen run the show. Kind of like, I'm not going to say it. Little did he know, you're about to have an encounter with the sun. Now this guy, they said would have been a proselyte. He would have come to Jerusalem, traveled a long way with a bunch of pomp, bunch of stuff, and he would have been in an oxen pulled thing with a whole bunch of people, his subservience following him, right? So he was a big deal, would have had the money, he would have been a man of integrity, but he wouldn't have been included in the assembly because he was a eunuch. He had been emasculated. They weren't allowed to be in the inner circle. He could come to the outer circle, but there was a dividing wall of hostility that was there. You can be in, and you're not in. How many of you, at one time in your life, were the person you're not allowed in because you're too bad, you're too drunk, you're too stoned, you're too high, you're too ugly, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too whatever it might be. Only 10 is admitting to that. That's why I love him. Thank you, Betsy. Elaine in the back, Richard, okay. We've been there. You know, the Bible says we were outsiders at one time because of what Christ did for us. We're now insiders, right? But this guy knew there was something to it. He goes to Jerusalem. He wants to be put in position because he wants to hear from the true God. Hit pause on that. So he had to have some concept. People think he was probably a Jewish convert. The minimum he would be a God-fearing Gentile. Don't know. We weren't there. But what we think, what they think, remember the story of Queen Sheba when she met with King Solomon? Remember she came all that place? I've never seen anything like this guy is amazing, and he follows the one true God. Now, where scholarship would say that perhaps that measure of faith in the true God may have come from that all those years, like about 1,000 years prior, when Sheba would have gone back going, you've got to see this. This God of Israel must be something. I met his King Solomon, and let me tell you, he is blessed. He's got so much wisdom. We don't know. But that's the fun you have when you deep dive, you know, because I don't think any of you were here, were you? Some of you. So here he is. So he's been there, and he must have had a heart for the Lord, I want to know you. Rest assured, if you want to know the one true God, he will make himself known to you. Think of the lengths this guy went to get to Jerusalem. I mean, I don't know how long it would take oxen to get from Ethiopia, which is, I guess they say, part of Sudan now, to Jerusalem. I would imagine it would be probably 6 or 7 hours. Just seeing if you're paying attention. It would have been, I don't know, days, weeks, months. And we can't get people to come 5 minutes. Well, I tell you what, Pastor, you know, it's like 20 miles. That's a long time. This guy was going, I want to know the one true God. I want to know, and I want to be where I know that he's moving. I want to be where I know he's headquartered. That's Jerusalem. I don't care. I'm going, and I'm taking the blazing fast oxen. I don't know. So he went to the Passover. It's a celebration. So, I mean, think about it. It's funny, but don't lose the point in the humor. I mean, we do make all kinds of excuses for why we don't come to meet in God's houses today. In the New Testament, obviously, we are the temple of God. But this is where people congregate, right? The believers in the early church were always together hanging out. Some of you, I remember we had our ministry in the city, and it was a 40-mile buffer between them and me, maybe 50, and it was wonderful. Yeah, I'd love to come down there and bail you out of jail, but, you know, it's 2:30 on a Wednesday night, and I'm in Wright City. And you're in St. Louis County Jail. So it's not going to happen. Right? It has happened. We've done some bailing out, and I always get paid back in this church. Unlike downtown. So anyway, it's nice to be here home and be with God's people all of the time. So the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. You know, in the Old Testament, in those times, they would actually always read out loud. Any out loud readers in here? I mean, to yourself, not to other people. Apparently, that was quite the thing. Raise your hand if you do that. Do I need to start doing that? Really? Okay. But not to Lynn, because that always, you know, she wants me to read out loud. It kind of freaks me out. But so you're saying read out loud to myself. So that's what they were doing here. Do you think that assimilates into your spirit better? Is it a proven fact? It is? Okay, so we're going to recommend, based on your recommendations, the people that are doing it. So you're saying to get the word out the pages, into your spirit, out your mouth, out loud, it will assimilate into your spirit better. Shall we take another vote on that? So here he is. Let me ask you a question. We've been talking about God moving behind the scenes. What are the chances of Philip? Let me back up a little bit. I'm going to back it up a little bit because I want you to get this part. This is super cool. When the persecution happened and everybody left, Philip goes, you know what? Philip was a Greek, so he was actually not Jewish. He had converted to Christianity. So what happened was he left Jerusalem and went to Samaria. Peter and John didn't go because they were still carrying a little bit of residual. We don't like them. They're Samaritans. Whole thing. Now, Philip wasn't under that same thing because he didn't have that same history. So he marched straight for the Samaritans because he knew they needed to know the true God. They were, right? So here they are. And the apostles, they had like a supervisory position. So they would have been getting reports back from, I don't know how they did it. They didn't text. I don't know how they did it. They would have got reports back or heard reports. Man, there's some amazing things going on in Samaria. We got to go check it out. It's kind of like when you send somebody to somewhere and they're having all kinds of fun and you think it's going to be lame. You go do it. Send Philip down here. He can mess with those Samaritans. And then it starts happening, and everybody wants to get on board. Hey, man, did you hear what's going on in Samaria? Pow! We can't have Philip having all the fun. Don't know if it was like that. But what we know, they got out of Jerusalem, went there, and put their stamp of approval. Said, this is amazing. This is really happening. Something significant is happening here in Samaria. Can you believe it? And then they'd been baptized into Jesus, but had not received the Spirit of God yet. Now, don't make a whole doctrine over, I got saved, and later I get to see. It doesn't work like that. God doesn't work in installment plans, right? When you say yes to Jesus, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the rest of your life, you learn how to take your orders from Him. You learn how to be under His directive, right? So it doesn't come like, well, you get 10%, and a little while later, when somebody else lays hands on you, you're going to get a double dose. Doesn't work like that. Probably have some disagreements in here over that doctrine. Perhaps. I'm just here to say you're wrong and we're right. No, just kidding. we can disagree on things and still be brothers and sisters in Christ. That would be okay, you know? We can disagree on some things. So that's kind of what's going on. So Peter and John get back, and they're like, oh, this is amazing. They put stamp of approval. Fast forward to where we are. You guys still with me? Okay. That was really important. I just thought that was super cool how the boys, Philip's going, that's great. So here he is. Things are going on, and he's having a blast, and all the stuff is happening, and God says, leave the place. Sometimes you're like, are you kidding me? It's amazing things happening. People are being healed. People are, getting off dope or whatever. What's going on? All kinds of stuff. And you're telling me to go to the desert? But he went. He went because he knew. Now, you're going to see the other part. I was just thinking that going, oh, Lord, that's, so you were connecting that. That's amazing. Stop it, Karen. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along the carriage. Because, now, what are the chances? This is ridiculous. It's so awesome. What are the chances Philip happens to go to Samaria? The Ethiopian just happens to be returning from Jerusalem. He just happens to be reading out loud the very passage, Isaiah 53, that speaks all about Jesus. And he hears him. What is just the timing? Completely coincidence. Did you know that's the only word? That's actually not in the Hebrew Bible. It's the Hebrew dictionary. There is no word for coincidence. There's no word. Because this is providence, you see. God set this all up. Just like he set up Zach and Jen. Just like, come on, man. God is in complete control of everything. Sometimes you've got to be honest. I have to remind you, Lord, I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff going on. But I'm reminded through reading stuff like this, and in my own life, he's in complete control. He is sovereign. He's not missing a thing. He is right where he's always been. He's complete control, setting all this up. And this is an amazing instance if you really think about the probability of Philip intersecting with this Ethiopian at this time, reading out loud, and all that stuff. It doesn't happen. This is amazing. And it gets amazinger. Yes, that's a big word. That's like over five. So he ran over. He didn't just kind of saw. I'm a real, when it comes to body English, I'm a real kind of study of that. Ask Jeff. He used to work for us. And Jeff was always a master of the correct timing on the body English to make it look like it was really hustling. It was amazing. But I'm a study. I just like to study people. So it doesn't say that he just kind of sauntered over. He said he ran up. When God says go, you don't just kind of slink up. You go. End of story. Right? So he's excited to be used of the Lord. So he's running to this chariot as he hears the guy reciting Isaiah 53. He hustled. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? That's the right question to ask. But I love the humility of the man and the posture that he took. Because sometimes when you talk to people, maybe it's embarrassment, I don't know. Nobody would expect a year-old Christian or a five-year-old Christian or a 10-year-old Christian to know some of the same things a 30-year-old seasoned Christian would. But we're like, now, I can't tell you. I'm going to make a bunch of baloney up. But I have no clue what you're talking about. This guy just said, how can I? Unless somebody instructs me. And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with them. Think of the humility. I mean, guys, we go on vacation, and I just want to run inside and ask everybody for directions. No. You keep driving around getting loster and loster because you simply won't go and ask somebody what is the way there. And I think a lot of times, I think pride gets in the way of people coming to Jesus or just simply going. I remember when we came to Jesus, I had no idea. I didn't know John the Baptist from Abraham. I did know Noah had a boat. Man, what a boat, too, let me tell you. I knew that much. But I just didn't know. But God put a Philip in my life, our life, and we intersected them. You can look back at God's hand moving the whole time, but going through it, it's like, you know, faith is kind of like a rowboat. You're kind of like rowing like this. You don't know what's coming around. You're kind of like you're rowing, and you really only see what's going on after you go through it. But everybody wants a canoe faith. Yeah, I see. Everybody wants that kind of faith. It doesn't work like that. We walk by faith, not by sight. So a lot of times when you're rowing, you see God's plan unfolding over now 30-some years. You can go, oh, my gosh, you were there, and you were there, and you were there, and you were there, and you were faithful there. I was an idiot there. I was an idiot there. Like a lot of times, I was an idiot there, but your grace still covered all of that, right? It's just kind of crazy the way that it works, and you can plainly see, and I will say this too, after walking with the Lord as long as I have, you become painfully aware of your sin. Painfully aware. In some senses, it seems like you're getting worse. Am I getting worse? Is my heart getting foul? No, God's revealing to you what you really are apart from Him, right? So what we learn through this whole life is we learn to die to those desires, and we walk in the newness of spirit, which is still a challenge. And it's going to be, it's not, yeah, it still is a challenge. Yeah, never mind, I'm not going to say it because I just completely fell on my face. I'm not doing it. It's still a challenge, and you know what? I'm still relying as much on His grace today as when I first got saved, right? The passage of Scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. We recognize that person as Jesus, but in those times they thought it might be Israel itself, or they might have thought it was Isaiah, the person that wrote the book. You know, that's the only book they don't read, the only chapter in Judaism today, Isaiah 53, because, it's unmistakable who they're talking about, right? It's unmistakable. If they would just read, this thing is really annoying. Does it bother you like this, Alpha? Yeah, bigger shoulders maybe. What's going on? But it's unmistakable they're talking about Jesus, right? So he has a head knowledge. All he needs is faith to connect the dots. So he needs somebody to help him connect the dots. Well, some people in your life right now, that God has positioned in your life, they're your eunuch. They just need a little bit of assistance connecting the dots. They have an idea, a concept of God, but they haven't. Sitting and waiting on the Spirit to tell you what to do is cool. So I'm playing a long game with some friends of mine. You ready? This doesn't, don't do it. This pertains to the message. I'm watching you, Elijah. Billy, I'm watching you too. Josiah, you're the only, good job. Anyway, so these three friends of mine, right? One's a Jewish guy, I love him, went to college with him. They were smart and I wasn't. The second guy's a Catholic guy, I love him too, he was also smart. And then there was me. I was a little kind of nefarious in college. I know it's hard to believe. So I was that guy. Had a lot of fun, though, right? Had a lot of fun, and they kind of followed me because they thought I was cool. I had hair, and I had, what are you going to do? I was that guy, I thought. Anyway, so we've reconnected about 2 years ago. I had to pick the phone up and call them. They don't know Jesus, guys. There are people in your life that don't know Christ, and you do. You pick the phone up, and you start connecting the dots, asking the Holy Spirit to lead you into what to say, when to say, how to say, if to say. You don't go there bashing them on the head with the Bible. You don't go there and try to be something that you're not, even though you're not, because you are different, even though you are not what you were, right? So I go in there. First time I saw him, Tripp looks the same. Beautiful flowing hair, lean. Rick's kind of frumpy looking, I love you. And Casey's listening. You know, whatever. And I come in, I go, man, I tell you, for real, guy, I hadn't seen him in 30 years. And they kind of looked at me like, what? How? Though outwardly I'm wasting away, inwardly I'm being renewed daily. They don't know this, you see. So I'm playing the long game, kind of surveying what's going on here, and I was like, hey, kind of feel like I'm walking into a joke. A guy walks into a bar. Yeah, it was a bar. I said, just chill out. Guy walks into a bar. This Jewish guy was there, a Catholic guy, and my buddy Tripp goes, the strangest thing was, you're the preacher. You see, they don't know that God chooses the foolish things to shame the wise, right? So when I'm weak, it proves that he is strong. So we're talking and we're grooving, I said, hey, man, I'm out here to proselyte. They started asking me about the ministry, and I told Lynn, I go, I'm just going to hang out. I want to kind of survey the land, take my time. I'm not going in to close the deal, even though I know time is running out. You know, because I'm waiting on the Spirit, which is what Philip was doing, waiting to hear the directive of the Spirit. I'm not going in there guns blazing, but I'm also keenly aware of the time. It's ticking and ticking and ticking. If they were to die tonight, they would be separated from God forever. So don't think for a second that I'm going there for pizza and wings. I'm on a mission. So I'm talking to them. We're enjoying each other. We're talking about old times and this times. And there are some times I'd rather forget, but they didn't. The time I hitchhiked home and got lost, I was on my way to Kansas City and some couple dropped me off. That was funny, you know. And I kind of had to look. But my buddy said, hey, I talked to Holcomb, who's now an attorney. Apparently, I'm the only loser. One guy owns a big outfit in South County. The other guy's a... Yes, I talked to my buddy, Mike Holcomb, who has his own law firm in Columbia. And he goes, you see Abbott still? Yeah. And he goes, what's he like? And Rick said, and this is the gospel, guys. You ready for this? It was the coolest compliment I ever got. He is exactly the same, but he's completely different. Hallelujah. You see, when you meet Jesus, when you connect with Jesus, he makes you a better version of the you you're supposed to be anyway. He doesn't, like, I am now a religious man. You see, I can't hang out with sinners like you. I used to be like you, and I have risen above it. Sometimes you have to condescend, you know, and having a blast. Now, guess what? Because I'm playing the long game, they're asking me questions. Hey, what's it? Rick said, he's going to retire. And I'm like, God, are we getting that old? You're going to retire? I can't retire. I don't have any money. I mean, I literally can't retire. I got to depend on God, and he's always come through for me. Praise God, but they don't know that yet. He said, I'm going to retire. And he goes, Tripp asked Rick, what are you going to do then? He goes, I don't know. And he goes, maybe you should go on a mission trip with Randy. I go, well, I'm going to Uganda in a couple weeks. And thinking about going to India in February? I don't know about all that. Well, so just throttle it back a little bit. They're not quite ready. But here's a cool thing. You wait on the Spirit's timing with your friends. And when he says go, you go. When he says pick the phone up, you pick the phone up. You don't let the devil go, well, they don't like you. They think you're weird. They think you're that. And don't go in there. You know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. I guess you know that. They're going, yeah, get lost, buddy. But see, this guy here, the eunuch, was already beginning. He's been stewing for a while. He's primed. That's what I call low-hanging fruit. One plant, one waters, God brings the increase. Right? So he left the booming place where everything's going on. He said, I got one thing for you. I'm sending you into the desert. Okay, aye, sir, I'm on the way. Did you realize it's a big revival that I'm going to be in the desert? I think he knows. Watch what happens to this. And this is even further evidence that God, you know, if you need any more evidence, hello, you don't, right? You don't, right? Okay. Come on, man. Tell me, was the prophet talking about him or someone else? So be any with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. So when we do the be ready, man, that's what you're going to be doing up here. You're going to be practicing for when it's your time that you providentially bump into somebody that people have been planning and sowing for years. That's what you're going to be practicing. Isn't it exciting? Some people go, oh, guys, practice. Practice makes perfect. Some haven't been given the gift of evangelism. That's okay. There are different gifts dispersed. That's okay. But everybody's been given, most people, given the gift of, do you want to come to church? No special anointing. Marshall, was there a special anointing when Lynn and I just said, hey, wouldn't come to church with us? Oh, was it? Okay, well, maybe there was. I don't know. Thank you, Marshall. You really wrecked the message, Joe. Well, maybe it's more like, I care about you. Would you like to come to church with me and a wife? Maybe it's like that. We can all do that, right? Sit back and wait on the Spirit's timing. It's, timing is everything. And you'll see all this as you string it all together, how essential the timing and waiting on God to do it. So cool. And you also see how essential his word, because this man had been soaking up the word. He'd been reading it. And I see Christians all the time that would say, I don't read the word. I'm perplexed. You know, I talk about it at length. I'll tell you what I got. I got an iPhone 78. You see, and I don't even have to go probing for myself. I just have to wait till it comes on my phone at 7 a.m. every day. Bam! Perfect for me. Later, God. Deuces. Thanks. Doesn't work like that. You see, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He knew that this guy is diligently seeking him. Like I said, he's on this fast track with the oxes driving all the way to Jerusalem. God knew his heart, and he was being put in position to receive Jesus. Isn't that great? It's just so cool. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look! Just in case you're sleeping. Okay? There's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Kind of like Richard did the other day when he did a cannonball into the thing. Jeff's in there, was barely out, and he came cannonballing in. Amen? I want to be baptized, right? Because that's a witness to everybody else that I've died to my old self, and I want to follow Jesus. What a witness that was. It's all over Facebook. Got like 4 views or something. Amen. Who cares? As long as he's viewing it, we shouldn't matter. Because we don't know what's going on that side of heaven. There was a party going on up in this place, too. And Wade got baptized last weekend, didn't you? How about that? Did you do a cannonball? Oh. Oh, I knew that. I knew. The other. Whatever. I know. Whatever. Okay. Way to screw it up. Punk. You know I love you. I did get AJ and Xander right today. And I'm beginning to get my grandkids' names down. It's great. It's almost like a miracle. So is there... Who said that? Diane? Phyllis? I expect more out of you two. There's some water, but I think it's cool because... Where he was baptized, they're thinking it would be called a wadi. W-A-D-I. You ever heard of it? You've heard of it. You not know what a wadi is, Evan? If you haven't known what a wadi was, raise your hand. Everybody else turn yours off. I'm talking to you guys. A wadi is this. It's like a ravine that's most of the time dry. Okay? So what are the chances this guy's taking an ox, going to Jerusalem, you know, getting his Jehovah on, leaving Jerusalem. Philip leaves, meets him on the road, and there just happens to be water in the wadi at the same time. It's getting wilder. Now watch, we're almost to Paul Harvey, and now you know. The rest of the story. You know what we're going to do sometime? I'm going to make the sound booth guys do a Be Ready Man. Yeah. Josiah's pointing at Billy. Billy's pointing at Elijah. Elijah, the three stooges back there in the sound booth. Praise God. Amen? Because this is a lot harder, believe it or not, than you think. But there's no place I'd rather be than telling people about the love of Christ. There's no place, however you do it, you know, going back to completely different but just exactly the same, there's a book by Ortberg. And it teaches you this phrase, I think it's really cool, being you-ier. A lot of people walking around, it's really sad. They know Jesus but don't know themselves. So they're kind of like trapped. And Jesus came to set the captive free. So you can be free to be yourself once you know yourself. That makes sense? Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop. They went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. How exciting do you think that was? I mean, all of a sudden, it's all making sense, his life. Wow. I went there. Who knows? He may have spent the rest of his life giving glory to God because the way that you orchestrated, wow, Lord, and I was here, and we're reading it on text. He lived it. You know, I don't know what your story is. I don't. God does. Each and every one of you. My daughter told me this one time. Everybody look at Amanda and say, we know it was you. She said, Dad, and she's known Jesus since you, no, we got saved. Connor was in the womb. You got saved shortly after. Or we got saved after we had you. But she's seen God's goodness her whole life. She's seen God's protection his whole life, her whole life. She's seen our failures and his faithfulness. She's seen it all, right? She said this to me one time. Daddy, I don't have a testimony like you do. I don't have a testimony. Oh, wait a minute. I beg to differ. You're not supposed to have a testimony like us. But you have a testimony because you've seen God's goodness from the very beginning. You've seen his protection. You've seen his deliverance. You've seen him working everywhere in your lives. You've seen his goodness, and you're going to be blessed in ways that I can't really imagine. I'm blessed too. But the testimony of yours is different than mine, certainly different than his, but it's your story. And it's Christ's story, but it's also your story. You know it. You happened. You were there when it happened. You saw how he protected you and moved losers out of your life. Oh, not that to happen. When you trust your life to God, he's moving behind the scenes in ways you don't even know, putting people in your life and out of your life, in your life and out of life, closing doors, opening others. And only by looking, wow. Boy, that's neat there. Oh, boy, give us glory there. That's neat. It's like you would do it like a girl. Oh, that's really neat. You would do like a girl would do it. I don't care how you do it, as long as you give God some glory. I don't care how you do it, as long as you let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Find your own voice. It's dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. That was hold. Find your voice. However the words are, it's a great song, though, wasn't it? The point, find your voice for him, in him. Find your voice. Connect with your people. Look and just see ever around. Pick the phone up. That's kind of the point of the whole message. Be ready, man. It also launches our new segment. It's kind of all tied in there, isn't it? And check this out. Speaking of providentially sewing things together, you ready for this one? Well, I had this idea for the skit. So we're at Campbell's house Friday morning, a little group, and I said, hey, guys, I'm thinking about this skit. Timmy's like, I'm the evangelist. Like we had to ask them. Martin's going, hey, man, you're always praying for me. They just start doing this whole thing right there. And I was like, this is amazing. Wow, they just started going off on this tangent. You know, Martin was being the mean guy, which is kind of a stretch for him, but you know what I mean. And he said, you know, the cool thing is we can talk about this all day because he and I will be together at the car show. You know, God's in every little detail. You know, it's not just the God of the massive big details. He's in every little detail. If we just open our eyes up and see it. Right? Every detail. And I hate the saying, the devil's in the details, because he ain't. It's God's in the details. And I've changed the name, the devil legs, to angel legs from now on. I refuse to call him. I'm telling you. I go to a thing. I'm not giving him any glory. God gets glory. It's angel legs, and it's God's in the details. If you can't see that through the story, you could probably look back at your own, oh, wow. You were there, and there, and there, and there, and there. He's everywhere, right? And here's the thing. I promise you, I think about this often. Because, man, I was fun, dudes. I got to be honest. Rando was very fun. That was my name in college and a few years after. Until Jesus came and gave me a new name. And Rando died. Thank God. But there are times, I think back at some of the times that maybe Lynn and I had prior to, where you think it couldn't get any better than that. But when we get home, when we get there, the war that's inside of you will be over. It's going to be done. That guy will be dead, and he will be dealt with forever, and the real, true you will arise and live in glory with Jesus forever, forever learning, forever. Who knows what we're going to do? It's just going to be amazing, but we just got to get there. And we don't want to go there alone. We want to, as somebody said, we want to plunder hell and populate heaven. That's what we really want to do. And here's the thing. The angel sent Philip because angels weren't given the responsibility, the privilege of carrying the gospel. That was given to his human agents, us. And that's a privilege. It's a responsibility, but it's also a privilege. Pick the phone up. You guys text message very much? Okay, of course you do. That's Karen, that was said telling a cheek. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I really care about you. I'd love to see you come to church or group, or better yet, love to have you buy me a cup of coffee. That's what I do. And you'd be surprised at the cups of coffee and the lunches I get that way. But I care about you, and I would love to sit down and have a conversation with you. Haven't seen you in a while. Is that easy? And Marshall, I can't mess that up because there's no inflection. There's no way to do it wrong or good. I like you. Do you like me? Circle yes or no. Would you? However, I don't know. Send them a message. Invite them to church. Invite them to group. Take them out for coffee. Explain the gospel. One more thing. We have 480 stories of Christ's little books that are free to you. There it is right there. See that? We got 480 of them. Now listen, if I see somebody walking out of here with 50 of them, they better be gone. Well, I know you'll give them out, Candy, okay? And I have no problem. That's what they're there for. But if you're going to take 50 of the good news of Jesus Christ, you better pass them out. I don't want to see them in the back of a car or truck. Hey, man, you know, took 50 of them. How about start small? You can always get more. It's a great tool, right? You guys ready to land the plane? Just because you said that, we're going to keep going for a couple more hours. That's one of my best friends. Isn't it great? Between him and the rest of you clowns. Keeps me humble, though, Tim. Thanks. Keep it up. Keep it up. Thank you, Jesus. They went down into the water. You know, I love that picture that we're given on the sacrament of baptism. Buried with Christ under the water and raised to new life. It's such a cool thing, man. If I could take a snapshot of all the baptisms, that's what we should have done. All the bam, we're right in action and put them all over the walls. Wouldn't that be cool? Because the believer's joy, when you realize I've been forgiven and that I'm a new person as I come, you know, we're already a new person. The baptism is a picture of what already happened. It's just a really cool deal, and I love it. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. Some people would say the same Greek term would have been used in 1 Thessalonians 4, I think, when it said removed or raptured. It means he just didn't take off walking. He was taking away. However he does, better than Star Trek, just push, and he was over here. Now, if I'd have been that guy, I'd have been like, oh, wow, what just happened? I mean, I was in Warrenton, now I'm in O'Fallon. Okay, well, I just tell people about Jesus. I mean, what else can you do? It would confirm the fact that I'm on a mission, apparently. Wow, so he's taken out of the equation. Some commentators would say he was taken out so it didn't have an inordinate relationship, the Ethiopian, with this guy. Sometimes we have pastor worship or a person leads you to Christ worship. It's not the pastor or the person that's... People don't lead you to Christ. The Holy Spirit leads you to Christ. I really push back when people say, I led him to Christ. No, you didn't lead anybody anywhere. No, you didn't. You see, the Holy Spirit led him and used you. But you didn't lead anybody. You can't even lead yourself. The Holy Spirit led you. Yeah, you're a tool. A lot of tools in here, actually. So I think he was taken away to get him out of the way so he could see clearer Jesus. You know? Now, I'm going to bring it all the way around. We talked about this a minute ago, but they added 5 minutes on back there and back. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. We just talked about that. Meanwhile, Philip found himself in another part of the town of Azotus. He preached the good news until there in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. And he ended up settling in there. But check this out. So Jesus said, I'll use you in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Guess what they called Ethiopia and Sudan, that whole area? The ends of the earth. So check this out. So here is, if it had been maybe me, my friends are all here in Samaria. If you, know, or if you don't mind me, I'll just stay here. He would have missed out the blessing of being the one that passed the mantle on to this eunuch that went to Ethiopia and actually was beginning to accomplish a church's mission on the ends of the earth. Is that cool? Wow. And ironically, so we're going to Uganda in a couple weeks. Be praying for us while we're gone. And they're going to preach us until we drop, apparently. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay. We'll be fine. But I look at that going, if we're going there to evangelize. That's where we're going. And they're going to come from all over. I just know. Thank you, Jesus. They're going to, right? But in a way, we're going to go to an area that wasn't that far from this eunuch where he would have gone back and told people about Jesus, what had happened to him. They were there first. See what I'm saying? Everybody thinks that America brought Uganda or Africa the gospel, but the chances are it was already there to begin with. Some people say the Ethiopian church was founded in 300 or 400. It's one of the largest, oldest churches in the world. But I think the seeds of that happened right here. So cool, isn't it? And we're still part of it. We're still part. We're in the book of Acts, probably chapter 8 billion or whatever. So you have to find your place in the story. Yeah, we're chapter whatever, right? So you have to find your place. And the cool thing about this church, let me just take a look. What a good looking ground we got in here. Everybody here, I know, are some real, I'm going to get to know you better. I know you heard you're a big mouth for Jesus. I'm just looking around to see how many big mouths we have in braggers. We got some braggers out there, braggers on the good news of God. You know, I'm the biggest bragger on the planet. So is the Holy Ghost. He's always bragging on Jesus. Everywhere he goes, he brags on Jesus. That's what we should be doing. Did I tell you what Jesus did for me? He repaired me when I thought it was irreparable. I got on the road, he sent me up the road, and then I crashed again, and he repaired me again. He didn't give up on me, kept me going, fueled me up in the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're almost home. It's almost over. There won't be any more conflict. Romans 7 will be something we don't talk about anymore. It's going to be a glorious day. I'm so glad you guys are such excited. It just gives me goosebumps. And I know you guys are excited because you wouldn't be here on a Saturday night. You'd be doing something fun. I mean, something else. If there's somebody that doesn't know Jesus tonight, maybe somebody's been sowing into your life for years and you've never connected the dots. You've never trusted Christ for salvation. You have a head full of knowledge, but you're beginning to put it all together. Maybe tonight's the night you cross the line of faith. You don't have to have it all figured out, because you don't. I don't. I've been doing it a long time. Even Diane is not perfect. Very close, because she's been walking with Jesus probably longer or as long as anybody in here. But she's still a big, gigantic mess. We know because we've known her for a long time. Bow your heads. If there's somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus, or you're a mess and you're like, I don't want to be a mess, or I'm a Christian, I've been a Christian for a long time, and you found yourself out on your desert road and you want to know Jesus, just give me a hand raise and we'll talk about it. Everybody's saved and everybody's walking in the Spirit. Okay, good. We'll have a little chat here in a little bit. Amen, amen. Anybody else? Okay, beautiful. We'll see both of you after church because you know what? This is your day. Salvation is here. Even in your mouth, the Bible says. This is the day that you're going to meet Philip the eunuch. You're having your convergence, like bullets colliding. Is that amazing? Father God, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you that you made a way when there seemed to be no way. We thank you, Jesus, for bridging that gap between our sinful nature and you, Lord, by the virtue of the cross and our placing faith in the accomplished work of Jesus. And you say, it's finished. So we thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. And we pray in Jesus' name that you would do only what you can do. Change us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.